Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but as I like to say always, however,
amen,
they
amen.
Are our opinions amen. As we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Bless your little heart. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right back at you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. We hope everybody listening will have a wonderful day. Amen.
A wonderful day.
Yeah, I left the beloved at home cooking, making cakes and all that kind of stuff.
Was she, as the old guy, as the old farmer would say, is she mashing taters?
Oh, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet, but she will be doing something along that line before the day is over, I'm sure. We love mashed potatoes and turkey and dressing, all of those wonderful things that has become our tradition.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
it's just great. Folks could email us if they'd like to maybe share some of their thoughts about Thanksgiving. Couldn't they, Timothy?
They can, and I want to throw this out there just so you'll know, listeners out in Radio Land.
Yeah.
We are live, as they used to say, as in color.
Amen.
That's opposed to being dead and black and white,
I guess.
But
I
we
guess.
Are here. We are live on the radio. So you can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 606-789-0318. Again, that's godspointofview@yahoo.com. Or 789-0318.
Sure, and we could say that we're here because we care. We want people to know that we care for them. Or we could tell them the truth and say if we stayed around the house, the wives would probably put us to work. So
I can't believe that you revealed that to all the girls.
Yeah, we gotta get the truth out there.
You know, every husband right now is dropping his head, walking away, saying, I gotta run outside for a minute.
There you go. No emails, and the phones are yet to ring. And just thinking, Timotheus, about the Apostle Paul and his writing to the churches. The Bible, the New Testament. The New Testament is made up of course, the Gospels. The life, the birth, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Yep.
The book of Acts, of course, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles in the beginning of the early church.
Very important to us,
by
the way.
Oh, yes.
Very important.
Oh, yes. And then the epistles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, someone asked me one time, what is an epistle?
Well, there you go.
And I said, well, what
first
do you think of
an apostle?
Well, I asked him, I said, what do you think of this? He said, is it one of the wives of one of the apostles?
Well, that's...
I said, well, it sounds like it should be, but it's not. An epistle is nothing more than a letter. And in the letters that Paul would write, for instance, in the Roman letter, he was talking about how thankful he was for the Roman church. And he longed to see them. And then in the Corinthian letter, he said, I thank my God always when I think about you. Mm-hmm. Same thing to the Philippians. Same over and over and over. The opening epistles. He was thankful. And so that got me to thinking about what Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 beginning, Timotheus. He said, be joyful always.
No, wait a minute. That encompasses a lot.
Yeah, it sure does.
Even when we're down and out and gloomy and doomy.
Yeah, be joyful always. Richard Wurmbrand, I don't know if you know the name or not. He
Wurmbrand.
Was
Wurmbrand.
Yes, I think it's spelled W-U-R-M-B-R-A-N-T. He was a If memory serves me, a Romanian pastor back many years ago, and he was imprisoned for his faith. The communists imprisoned him, and
kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll just roll on.
It might be insinuations today, of what is to come. Previews of what is to come.
There you go.
But anyway, they were forbidden to preach even when they were in the cell with many other prisoners. They couldn't speak about Jesus, and if they did, they were beaten. And he said that after a while, there was so much joy that filled their hearts that they were... Now Timotheus, you got to think about this. Folks, you got to think about this. He said the fact that we were privileged to suffer for Christ, and he said we love to preach and they love to beat us, and so we just kept preaching and they just kept beating us. They of course, beat him unmercifully. And he was disfigured for the rest of his life because of that. But we don't really know anything about that.
No.
We've never been in prison for our faith. We've never been beaten for our faith. We get all upset if someone won't speak to us for a while because of our Christian faith.
Yeah.
So our faith in Jesus Christ, maybe for a lot of us, has never been tested. Maybe it's never been tested for a lot of us. I don't know, I'm thinking about the people who started this whole thing about Thanksgiving.
And it goes back.
Oh my!
I mean, think about pilgrims. And
sure.
Think about turkeys and the Indians.
Most people, when they hear the word pilgrim anymore, think about John Wayne.
Yeah, that's true. And the young listeners this morning saying, who?
Yeah, who's John Wayne? Well, I'm indebted to Don Pinson, who in his weekly email this week sent out this information about the Pilgrim Thanksgiving. And, you know, they left their home, and they were wanting to be able to worship God with a good conscience, with a clear conscience. And they left their home, these Englishmen, and they stopped. You know, they stopped first in Holland. And there they found religious freedom, but they couldn't find jobs.
Yeah.
They would hire the children and work them unmercifully for low wages.
And but who'd want that for the family?
Exactly. So they decided to come to this newfound place called America.
We'll make it our own.
New England area. They were known as separatists.
Separating themselves from their other countries.
Absolutely. And they came and they enjoyed the first, and by the way, folks, we say that so quickly.
Almost flippantly.
6 weeks across the ocean.
Yeah, on little ships.
Yeah.
These ships weren't like...
No.
We tend today think of cruise ships, big ships.
Yeah.
No.
No, these were small vessels.
And they were cramped. It was bad.
They were.
It was bad.
They for 6 weeks, they had no hot meals.
Yeah.
For 6 weeks, they breathed no fresh air. The stench of their own human waste in the bowels of the ship, no pun intended. And they got to where they were going, and finally, they came to America, and they decided this is a place that can be a Christian. Domicile, a Christian republic. Why would they do this? Here's the reason. They were willing to suffer hardship because they wanted to teach their children about liberty. They wanted their children to grow up in a land where they would be safe from persecution and could live out their faith as their conscience and the Word of God dictated. I love that.
Amen.
I love that. And that may be something that will become more of a reality to future generations in America. I thought of that when I read a piece recently about the number of, and this sounds almost unbelievable, but the number of immigrants that are coming to us now is nothing. Folks, listen to me. Nothing compared to what has already arrived in the last 5 years. There have been more Muslim immigrants to arrive in the United States of America in the last 5 years than the population of Washington, D.C. The population of Washington, D.C. is around 650,000, and in the last 5 years, there have been 680,000 Muslims to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And with a projected equal amount for the next 5 years. So I'm not anti-immigrant per se. I'm not against people trying to better their life. That's what the pilgrims were trying to do. But, you know, no one was concerned about the pilgrims trying to kill them.
Yeah.
The pilgrims were simply wanting to find a place they could worship, raise their families, make a living until they went to heaven, and live in peace.
Yeah.
With all of the question marks around immigration today, at least 31 or 32 of the nation's governors say, hey, no more.
Yeah.
No more. And when you add to that, and I'm throwing a lot of, this is a smorgasbord. This is kind of like Thanksgiving
this is
dinner.
Like, this is like the table with all the goodies
it's
on it.
It's just
right
spread.
Here.
You
it's
know, I mean, let me apply that to preaching. Years ago, I used to try to figure out what people needed, yeah. and I preached sermons based on what I thought they needed. And I finally decided that's a failure.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work. Everybody needs the same thing, Timotheus, one way or the other.
Or sometime or another.
Sometime or another.
Yeah, yeah.
And so at the Thanksgiving table today, it'll be a smorgasbord. There's going to be some, you mentioned the mashed potatoes, there's going to be some turkey, there's going to be some probably corn on the cob.
A little dressing.
By the way, those early pilgrims, you know what they had, one of the things they had for their first Thanksgiving dinner? They had some clams.
Mm-hmm.
And they had each had 5 kernels of corn.
So you mean all the history books that little kids' history books with the pilgrims with the hats and the belts and the turkeys and all that stuff? No.
Well, with all that, no. it was a dismal situation.
It was.
But thank God for it.
Yeah.
So here we've got on our tables all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the folks around Thanksgiving tables today will say, no, I can't eat that anymore. They eat something else.
Yeah.
They don't have the teeth for it, or they don't have the digestive system for it, or something. Here's a little baby.
Yeah.
Little babies can't handle any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them what they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So my preaching over the last several years has been like a smorgasbord. I just lay it out there, let people come along and break off what they can.
There you go.
I've even got a scripture for it.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, I buffeted my body daily. Actually, the word is buffeted, but I like to call it buffeted.
Yeah.
So here are the pilgrims and the Indians, their new neighbors.
As you're talking about that, I kind of look at the pilgrims being like the Apostle Paul. They were willing to die.
They suffered. They were.
For freedom to what they felt in their heart and in their conscience to worship the Lord.
Absolutely. They had that missionary spirit about them.
Yeah.
To find a place where they would not be persecuted. And by the way, let me go back before someone misunderstands me. I'm not against people who want to move to this country, who can make a contribution, who will become Americans.
Who will become Americans and instead of being like the frog in the hot water.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
So here are the first Americans, pilgrims, and they came to this Christian republic, and there they gave thanks. They had very little to be thankful for, but they remembered the verse, in everything, give thanks. Timotheus, that doesn't say give thanks for everything. I'm not for cancer. I'm not for leukemia. I'm not for heart disease. I'm not for poverty. I'm not for any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can, if we're thinking straight,
mm-hmm.
we can be thankful in those circumstances to God, the benefactor of us all. So some thoughts around Thanksgiving time. And if you have a thought and you'd like to call us, please do, 789-0318, or email us at
GodsPointOfView@yahoo.com.
You know, we hear a lot about Corrie Ten Boom.
I am. Mm-hmm.
I saw her on what would that be? Not the PTL Club, but some program on TV years ago. Christian Broadcasting Network. The name escapes me at the moment, but she was an old woman then.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an interview with her. And she was just a sweetheart. I just loved listening to her. She had that, I believe it was a Swedish accent. I may be mistaken on that. But she had an accent, and she was talking about how God blessed them when they were prisoners at Ravensbrück, the Nazi concentration camp.
That was a lady that suffered.
Oh, my. All of her family, you know, died there, if memory serves me. They were the 10 Boom family were clockmakers, I believe, in Sweden. Or was it Holland? I can't remember now. Timotheus?
I'm not sure. I wish I could help you, but I'm not sure. But, Holland sounds maybe that, right. I'm not sure, though.
It does sound right. But anyway, they were prisoners of war for helping to save Jewish lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about one time when they were hoping and trying to be thankful. Someone had smuggled a Bible in, and they were reading the Bible verse which said, in all things, be thankful, the one we just shared.
Mm-hmm.
At that particular time, their barracks was just infiltrated, overrun with fleas.
Mm.
And they were miserable. The ladies there were miserable.
Absolutely.
And Corey said to her sister, Betsy, how can I be thankful? I'm miserable. I'm itching. I'm scratching. You know, all. They didn't learn till later that one of the reasons the Nazi guards did not come into their barracks and rape the women there as they were doing in other barracks
because
is that word
fleas.
Spread that there were fleas infested there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't come in.
Yeah. Didn't understand it at the time.
No, and isn't that like us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can think of a time, I can think of a time, when I hated
miserable.
It. I hated the situation I was in, but I, and when I looked back on it, I saw God was in that.
Yeah.
Which is why I like to say that all learning takes place in reflection.
Yeah, there
you
go.
As you look back on it.
Yeah.
One of the greatest principles I ever learned in life.
Yeah.
I can remember as a young person thinking, when is this ever going to change?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what? Well, I didn't say, oh, God, because I didn't call on God. I was my own God.
See, that happened for me like on Saturday mornings when I wanted to watch cartoons.
Yeah.
Dad said, get your work clothes on, son.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. But now.
You get to watch cartoons all you want to.
But now I can't do a lot, but I can do a few things. He did teach me a few things.
Well, good. Now you're responsible.
I know how to do a few things.
Now I know who to call on. So there's people listening who today things are not going just right with them. You know, things are.
It could be that they've lost a loved one.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they've got, I know a lady I'd asked the church to pray for last night. A gentleman that my wife used to work with, his wife works with her now, and he passed away day before yesterday. It's a bad situation, and I'm sure for that family, it's not a good Thanksgiving.
Sure,
but you know, it's going to happen for all of us. There's preparation for it in His Word.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still doesn't make it easier at the time.
It does not. And people are listening today. This is the first Thanksgiving without mommy for some, without daddy, without their wife, without maybe a child. And we want you to know we're praying for you, and we have your best interest at heart. And we're not trying to minimize your loss in any way.
Absolutely.
And someone said time cures all.
No.
Time doesn't cure all, but God will eventually heal your heart.
Amen.
God will eventually heal your heart.
That loss will always be there.
It will always be there.
Yeah.
And you know, loss is kind of like, it's like waves of emotion. You go along for a while and think, well, I'm doing better, and then all of a sudden here comes a wave of emotion that just
blindsides
you. It really does. It really does. So we're sensitive to that today, and we want to encourage you that if you don't know the one to turn to, we want to help you with that. We've seen just recently some folks do that at Highland, and some folks who were not living according to God's plan in terms of their marriage situation change that. I don't know that I've ever performed a wedding in 41 years. I performed a lot of weddings at a lot of different times and a lot of different circumstances, but first time I ever performed one just before Wednesday night Bible study. We had a wedding last night. When we see couples who are coming to know the Lord and understand what He wants for their
life, a desire to obey His Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, once you got that desire there to do His will, the Bible says if we'll do His will, then God will give us the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
And so that was encouraging to the whole church, I believe, which is why I embarrassed them and asked them to stand up. But if you don't know the Lord today would be a great day to be thankful for another day. and thankful to the God of heaven who's given you oxygen to breathe.
And there may be people, Jerry, that's even listening to us right now, that they're so miserable that they're saying, well, I'm not thankful I have another day. I wish it would just end for me.
There's a tremendous number of people across this land like that.
Yeah.
And Christ is the answer. Christ has always been the answer.
If you find and truly find and you know in your heart that there is one thing that will never change, everything in this life, and the old saying is, the only thing constant in this life is change.
Yeah.
Everything changes. Nothing's ever going to stay the same.
Right.
All of us are going to leave and go. But the one thing that will stand when everything else is gone is God's Word and the Lord Himself by your side.
That's exactly right. Two things in this world will last eternally, and that's the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Our souls will be eternal. Once you're conceived, you're eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Once you, there was a time when you weren't, but when you became a human being, you'll always have that eternal soul.
Yeah.
It will always live. And you have a choice to make. You listening right now that have been thinking about changing your life, you need to find somebody that you have confidence in, somebody that you respect, somebody that you can pick the phone up and call, or someone you can go see and say, you know, I just need a little advice. I need a little help. If you're beyond that and you know what you need to do, then today you need to just surrender. Just surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. You can do that right there where you are, wherever you may be. You can do it and know that God will in fact make it possible for you to complete your obedience to Christ. Receive Him today. Change your attitude. Change your, Jesus in the Beatitudes said, and we call them Beatitudes, Timotheus, because what he's saying is, be of this attitude. The King James says, blessed is the person. Blessed are ye, and there's several of them there, Matthew chapter 5. One translation says, happy is the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a misnomer in one sense. I'm going to be preaching on that this Sunday morning. God wants us all to be happy, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. A lot of people immediately say, yeah, he sure does. Not necessarily.
Well, I in the overall end, he wants us to be loved, but it's like a child. We want our children to be happy. I want my grandbabies to be happy.
Sure.
But if they're going to stick their finger in the light socket,
yeah,
I want to make sure they're taken care of so my grandson or my soon-to-be granddaughter will be joining us.
Right.
They're not going to be happy, but I'm doing it for their own good.
That's exactly right. And so when you discipline your children,
yeah,
you're doing it with the future in mind. Timotheus, let's just suppose that you gave Chad, when he was a little boy, everything he asked for. Whatever he wanted, you gave, or in my case, we gave Danielle
or Andrea
everything they wanted and never said no to them.
Yeah.
Then what you and I have created, if we do that, is a insensitive, ingrate.
Self-centered.
Yeah, just a person that only cares about themselves. And God doesn't want children like that.
Yeah.
God wants His children to grow to be individuals who will make a contribution to the kingdom of God and to advance the kingdom of God. And sometimes, in order to do that, just like parents have to teach their kids that you don't always get what you want,
mm-hmm.
and what better time of the year to convey that thought, moms and dads, than Christmas time? We give them so much stuff.
Yeah. Then you want to know what you're going to do with the stuff you've already gave them.
There you go. What they really need is what the pilgrims came here for,
yeah,
which was to give their children a foundation upon which to build. You can do that, folks.
Yeah.
We still live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. You can still do that here in America. And we would encourage you to think more seriously about it this time of year than ever before.
If I may say something, Jerry, you were talking a while ago, and don't want to be offensive, don't want to hurt anybody or doubt anybody, but
I'll forgive you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Offend me.
Sometimes it comes across, when there's somebody out there struggling so much, they have no idea. Every time I turn on a religious channel on TV, you need Jesus. And every time I listen to a preacher, you need Jesus. And that is true. But then they're so confused about, I don't know, and it's not hitting home with them. But there is something that somebody's going to say, or may you have already said it today, that's going to pierce and get through just a little bit.
Sure.
It may not be the words, you need Jesus.
Yeah.
It may not be, you need to come today. It may not be those things, but it may have been something that you've related to somehow, some way. And maybe that person doesn't have anybody
absolutely
to have confidence
absolutely
in. But if there is that one little thing that hits you, and your ears kind of perk up, like when the dog hears something, you don't hear it, but the dog does, and the ears perk up.
Yeah.
If you feel that way, follow that.
Amen.
No matter who tells you that,
this
is my advice.
Yeah.
That's happened to me.
Yeah.
And if you have said that, then call Jerry.
Yeah.
If it's another preacher, call him.
Call him.
Even if you don't know him.
Call him.
Call him. And tell him what he said and how it affected you, and you will be on the road to finding peace in your life.
Absolutely. The conscience. God gave us a conscience.
Amen.
And He tells us that we're like farmers.
Mm-hmm.
We sow seed.
Amen. Not all soil is alike, though.
Not all soil is alike. Jesus said that out of four soils that he described in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, out of those four, one of them was productive.
Yeah.
And that's sad, but that one makes it good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's some good in this old world tells me that God's still on the throne. Someone who wants, and Timotheus, a lot of people like to nitpick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I used to love to nitpick.
Or find a way out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so we say, well, if there's a loving God in heaven, then why do we have all of this going on in the world today? Because God gave you a choice.
Yeah.
And as we noted recently, all things happen for a reason, but a lot of times I'm the reason.
Very well could be. Very well could be.
God gets a lot of credit and a lot of blame that he really,
he didn't have anything to do with.
Yeah, yeah. If it's anything that is good that happens amongst all the badness, then that tells me God's still on the throne, because he tells us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Yeah.
Even though some bad things accompany it, good can come from it.
Just because maybe you're trying to credit him or blame him, he may not have done that situation, but, and here's the great thing, with one T, by the way.
Yeah. Amen.
He can use that for good, no matter how bad or no matter how good.
He can.
He can use it.
He can.
That's what is so awesome about the Lord.
Now you got to be careful where you say that, because some places you could say that and someone could say, you offended me. We live in a culture that everybody's offended all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it creeps into the church, and because we don't want to offend anybody, we'll back away from the truth. We'll back away from preaching it with boldness like we should.
Yeah.
And so I turned the TV on the other day, and someone else had been offended. University presidents, football coaches, everywhere you turn, somebody's offended.
Too-hoo-boo-hoo.
Those are...
It's inside joke, folks.
Yeah,
sort of,
those are Hebrew words for empty. The earth was without form and void. If you go back and check that out, you'll find the Hebrew words are too-hoo and boo-hoo. Toohoo and boohoo happens to Moses.
Amen.
I mean, it just happens. When are you going to get a bumper sticker that says boohoo and toohoo happens?
Yeah. Maybe we could be millionaires.
All right. Mercy. Good spending Thanksgiving morning with you.
You too, brother.
And our audience.
Are you prepared and ready to go?
All I got to do is gather my stuff up here.
And we just talked about that church last night. Somebody said something about our part or whatever. I said, all I've got to do is pick up my fork and my knife.
There you go. I'm good to go.
And a napkin, maybe.
Yeah. Now, I did ask the beloved. I did say, now, when I get back, whatever you need me to help you with, I'll do.
Amen.
Yeah. She's saying amen right now.
Hey, well, I did get up and help with the turkey this morning a little bit.
So. Oh, good. Good for you.
And we wish and hope that each and every one of you listening today, we thank you so much. You are a blessing and an inspiration to us.
Amen.
We appreciate that so much, especially when you see us out and say something to us. We appreciate that so much, and hope that you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we'd like to invite you to services at the Highland Church. Of course, Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7, and don't forget about Looking to Jesus Sunday morning at 7 a.m. right here at WSIP. Again, thanks for listening today to another edition of God's Point of View.